Amen. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, begin reading at verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so we're just going to go back and we're going to preach part two of Paul's message. This morning we talked about knowing nothing among you, Paul said, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Tonight we're going to catch the second part of that. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God of heaven, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Wonderful Savior, we praise you and exalt you. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Jesus. Help us here tonight. Help us, O Lord Jesus. Tune into the Spirit. Asking you, Lord Jesus, to get down into our hearts, O Lord. Let your word do what it was purposed and willed to do. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Why don't we clap our hands unto the Lord today? Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. There was a man by the name of Saul. They called him Saul of Tarsus. It was a man that was strong in what he believed. We talked a little bit about it this morning, but that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel and studied from him a rabbi greater, honestly greater than a rabbi. But we would know that Gamaliel would be one that would say concerning the Christians and the way and the works that they were doing. He told everybody, he said, look, he said, just let them alone, let them alone. And if it be of God, then there's nothing that we can do. And if it's not of God, then it'll come to naught. But if it is of God, you need to be careful because you're going to find yourself fighting a losing battle. And Paul, even though that he would have heard that message, Paul would be of the one that he would say, I'm going to do it anyway because he believed in the cause. He had a problem at that point in time believing that Jesus Christ was the Savior. He was the prophesied Messiah. Paul was a theologian in his own right, but he did believe in God, and he felt like he was doing God a favor. But on the road to Damascus, down that way, the Bible says Paul was giving his testimony, he said, there came a bright light from heaven that began to shine, and I fell to my knees. Those that were with me, we fell down. And there was a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And Paul, being a little bit confused against them, some things he would say, Lord, who art thou? The answer that came back was not one that Paul was expecting, but it was one that brought revelation and changed the direction and the life of that man Saul. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Even though that Jesus was no longer upon the face of the earth, he said, Paul, what you are doing, or Saul, what you are doing is you are persecuting me. So Saul's life was changed, his name was changed, and he began to be called Paul and began to preach the gospel. He was capable of debating against philosophers and such, and he would find himself in such a case on Acts chapter number 17 as he was there in Athens, and there were all of the philosophers, and those and that were around, and they had all kinds of things set up to different gods and such. And Paul noticed that there was one that was set up. There was an idol. There was a monument set up that was entitled to the unknown God. And Paul began to talk to them, and they began to philosophize with him. But Paul learned at that moment that using their weapons and such, and philosophizing and using words of wisdom and such alike, and such things like that, were in all reality ineffective in the way that God would have it to be done. And he could have taken that mentality into Corinth as he would be there among the Greeks and such. But again, he purposed, I'm not going to use their weapons and try to do battle, if I could say it like that, against them in that way. He was there, he had been there in Corinth, and he would write a letter unto that city that loved philosophy and loved public speakings and fine oratory and such. And he just simply made a statement as he began his letter, and he said, I determined, I made up my mind. And when you know that when Paul made up his mind, when Saul made up his mind, he was not going to be deterred in a man very quickly whatsoever at all. Didn't matter if your name was Gamaliel or whatever, amen, didn't matter who you were. If Paul believed in the occasion, then he was going to set his face for that, and he was going to do it with all of his mind. But he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he would say, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. And so one more time, Paul begins to emphasize that there are some things that he is refusing to do. He is not giving himself to do. He's not coming down to that level. He said, I'm not going to philosophize with you. I'm not going to debate you. I am not going to wow you with some type of public oratory that you could walk away and say, man, that guy could really speak, couldn't he? Amen. Paul said, I did not come with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, but I am come, and I'm going to preach to you in the demonstration of the power and the demonstration of the Spirit. Amen. Paul was always adamant that everything that was going on that he did in life, that it was never about him. Through all of Scripture, you will see him pointing the finger back towards God. Galatians chapter number 1, he would say, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. He said, I didn't make this up. I'm not doing any of this. He said, at the same time, I'm not ashamed of it either, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. He went on to say in Romans 7 that I know that in me, that even though that I can speak fluent Hebrew and I can understand the Greek's ways, and even though that I could sit down and I could debate with the best of you, and I could sit down and have all of you around me as you listened unto my eloquent speech and my wisdom and such like that, he said that I realize that in me dwelleth no good thing. Praise God. Paul wanted everybody to always know. Amen. And Paul wanted it to always be evident that it was the Spirit of God working through him. Amen. With him. And it wasn't of Paul's talents and of Paul's, amen, ways and such. Paul wanted the glory to go to God. Paul would even say, amen, in his word, that no flesh, Paul would say, including my flesh, that no flesh would glory in his presence. Amen. He began to speak concerning a demonstration. In other words, there was something that was evident. There was something that people could see. There was something that would provide an idea of proof. Amen. That Greek word apodexis, amen, simply means to point out. And the results were by the Holy Ghost, who would respond with power. Amen. And so Paul was basically saying, amen, pointing out the facts that were made clear by God's word. And as he pointed them out, the Holy Ghost moved in his messages. Paul said that's what's most important. It's not most important that you walk away from here, amen, shaking your head, thinking to yourself, what a good message. Paul said, I want it to be abundantly clear. It's not about me, but it's about God. Paul said, I want it to be abundantly clear that it's not me at all, but that there is a demonstration. And when it was looked upon, everybody would say, this has to be of God. That's the way Paul wanted. Amen. A demonstration of the Spirit and a demonstration of power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh yeah, Paul made it clear, first, four, and quick. I'm not interested in theatrics. I'm not interested in performance. I'm not interested in entertainment. I'm not interested in clever speech. I'm not interested in emotional manipulation. He said, I'm interested in a demonstration. I want there to be something that happens. I want it to be more than something that you hear. I want it to be more than something that you would just forget about. But I want there to be something that happens, that when it's all said and done, and the emotion and the hype is gone, you still remember something happened. You can remember what it was. You can even remember what was said. Paul said, that's what I want, and when I get it like that, only then will I consider what I have done to be successful. If God gets the glory. Amen. Paul would say, amen, my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. That little phrase that he used there, I don't claim to understand it all. I need more time to look at it, but I'll just say what I found. It says that the dative preposition in is a dative of instrumentality and could thus be translated that it was enforced by a demonstration of spirit and of power. In other words, the word of God, the preached word of God, was backed up by God himself. Paul preached with certainty, amen, that if he preached as God had given him to do so, that God's spirit would back him up with many infallible proofs. Amen. Paul said, if I just humble myself and get into that place where God can use me, God's going to back it up. Amen. And when the devil cuts the branch off, God's going to hold me up in air. Amen. When God encourages me to step out of the boat, he's going to hold me up on the water. Paul was had that type of confidence. If I just do, and if I just say what God would have me to say, there's going to be a witness of the Spirit. There's going to be signs and wonders that are going to follow him that believe. But Paul said it doesn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. It doesn't come with excellency of speech. But I tell you how it will come if we will humble ourselves and begin to pray and begin to seek God. Amen. It's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We got to get back to it that way. That's the way we got to look for it. That's the way we got to expect it. That's the way we got to desire it. I want more than what man can conjure up. I want more than man's brilliance. I want more than man's talent. I want a word from heaven. I want God to get down into the intents and the desires of the heart. I want the word of God to be sharp and powerful. I want the word of God to be effective. Oh, let's love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He said a demonstration of the Spirit. A demonstration of the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about. That's at a place, amen, where conviction gets so heavy in the house. Amen. People begin to squirm. People start picking their fingernails. Amen. People start all of a sudden got to get up and go to the restroom. Amen. They pinch the baby so that the baby cries. Why? If something's happening. Amen. I'm not able to bear it. Amen. It's that place where sinners get a hold of the pew in front of them. Amen. Begin to grip it until the knuckles turn white. Conviction comes into the house. Amen. Conviction falls. Sinners begin to run to an altar. They come to the altar and they begin to repent. Amen. Chains begin to fall and begin to break. Lives are changed. And the Spirit confirms the word. Amen. It's not because of charisma. It's not because of emotion. Amen. It's not because of personality. It's not because there is a huge number. Amen. And a volume of people. But it's simply because there is a demonstration of the Spirit that is within the house. Oh yeah, that's what we got to get back to. Amen, that's what we got to desire. Amen, amen. I remember, amen, I was, say, privileged or dishonored to preach, to pastor, less than 30 minutes, amen, from Joel Osteen. He had one of the mega churches down in the old Houston Astros or Rockets Coliseum, a huge fortress down there. And we had a lady that came to our church, and she got there and she loved what she felt. And you know what? There were some times that I preached, and there's no other way to explain it other than I just made her mad. I made her so mad she quit coming. And she instead of driving a few miles to our church, she would drive several miles to Osteen's church. And she would go there. And she would be in there with some 15,000 plus people in there. And she would listen to their songs and their music and Osteen's word. And she would come home and she would, several weeks later, she would come back. And she didn't say anything the first time. And lo and behold, the preaching of the word of God made her mad again. Amen. Some people are afraid that the preacher is going to make some people mad. Sometimes the word of God needs to make people mad enough that they make some decisions. It could be to the saving of somebody's soul. She went back to Osteen's church. And she came back. And so there we were. And she asked me one day, she said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." And so she began to speak and she said, "I just don't understand." She said, "Why is it that I can go to this church and I feel such a power and such a prevalent presence of God in this place, and it causes me to weep and cry and I feel God so strongly, but when I go over to Joel Osteen's church and I'm there with 15,000 people, I don't feel anything at all." She said, "What is the difference, amen, of being here in this 30 and being over there in 15,000 and so I just had to tell her the truth. And she didn't believe it. And so the next time that I made her mad, she went down to another power or another mega church. A church that has some 4 or 5 campuses out around Houston. A church where the pastor is flown by helicopter from campus to campus. And wherever he's at, they can satellite him into other campuses and such. And she thought, "Well, I'll just change churches and it'll be okay." And here she come back again. And she said, I didn't feel anything over there at that church either." Amen. It's because they don't have the truth. Amen. They're interested in, amen, in
in philosophy. They're interested in causing people to feel good about themselves. They're interested in making people feel good in their sins and giving them some kind of justification or an excuse to continue in their sin. But when she would come over to our church and I began to preach, amen, about ladies wearing pants, amen, and men wearing dresses and those things, and she got so mad, amen, that last time she got mad and she stormed out of the church, and I met her at the door and I said, what was her name? Donna. I said, Donna, I want to talk to you for a second. She looked at me like, you got about 30 seconds and you better make it quick and you're on the clock now. I looked at her and I said, I want you to know I wasn't preaching to you tonight. And she said, well, you could have fooled me. I said, look here, Donna, I'm going to tell you something that'll probably upset you. I said, I don't even consider you to be a member of our church. And I got to preach to the members of this church. And I'm dealing with things in this church that have got to be dealt with, and I cannot ignore them because that you're here. I gotta preach the truth. I want you to know that before it was all said and done, that Donna had come into the church and prayed through and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. Amen. Somewhere about three quarters of the way back on a special service, I'm here today to tell you the power of God still works. The Word of God still works. The Spirit of God still works. Don't get quiet. Don't get still. Don't get nervous. Let God do His work. Let God do what He wants to do. Let God penetrate the heart. Let God get down into the joints and to the marrow of the bone. Let God deal with the unrepentant heart. Let God get into the mind, amen, and the thoughts of those people, and let there be a demonstration of the Spirit begin to take place. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what God wants. That what God wants. God doesn't want to tickle their funny bone. God doesn't want to preach to them and send them to hell. Amen. God doesn't, amen, want to make them feel good about themselves. God wants them to change. God wants them to repent. God wants them to get saved. God wants them to make it to heaven. And they're not going to make it to heaven just playing patty cake with them. Not going to make it to heaven, amen, philosophizing with them. Not going to make it to heaven having a good smiley teeth, deep full personality. God wants to move. Praise God. It's a demonstration of the Spirit, Holy Ghost, working in an undeniable way through the preached word. I'll just tell you, I've seen 10 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in one service. One service. I've seen 10 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you what the preacher preached that night. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what the pastor preached that night. He preached holiness. He preached the clothesline. He preached about everything that was in the Bible and probably things that may should have been in the Bible, he thought. He didn't leave any stone unturned. He preached, if you could be offended, you got offended. But he preached everything, and we had 10 get the Holy Ghost that night. I'm telling you, don't doubt the Spirit. And when things start to tighten up, that's when it's time for the church to loosen up. That's when it's time for the church to stand up. That's when it's time for the church to get in, get with it, because you understand God is trying to do something right now. God is trying to help somebody right now. God is wanting to set somebody free right now. That's what God wants. We need preaching, amen, that bothers us. Preaching that gets into our business. Preaching that gets into our home life. Preaching that is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We need preaching that connects with the heart of people, not just the mind of individuals. Yeah.
It's not enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. Amen. He put in that little polysyndeton there. He said it's a demonstration of Spirit and power. In other words, it was a demonstration of the Spirit, but there's also a demonstration of the power. When there is a demonstration of the power, it's hard to forget. I have heard some of the most awe-inspiring, mesmerizing messages in all of Pentecost. I have heard people preach things and I sat there shaking my head like, my Lord, that's good. Wow. That is so, so good. But you know what? I may be able to tell you who preached something. But very seldom could I ever tell you what they preached. Great, alluring, fantastic word. One of those moments where you sit back and you're like, oh, wow. But you give it 2, 3, 4 weeks, 6 weeks at most, and you don't really remember any of it. The messages that you do remember, something happened. The messages that you do remember, there was some type of demonstration, whether of the Spirit or of power, that began to happen in that message. I could talk to you for a long time about being a child. Amen. The very first pastor that I have any remembrance of whatsoever at all, John Odie Poe. John Poe was my first pastor. And I remember that when I felt a call to preach and got ready to preach, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to be like Brother Poe. I'm going to be like Brother Poe. You know why? Because Brother Poe was a mic-eating, spit-slinging, fire-breathing preacher. That's just the way he was. And a little boy, I remember that. I was less than 8 years old when he left. I don't remember any of the messages that he preached, but I remember some of the things that happened when he preached. And you know, the crazy thing about it is my uncle went to the same church with me. They lived just a little ways down the road from the church, but my uncle went to the same church. My uncle made this statement concerning different men and places that he's been to. My uncle quit church. He's never had the Holy Ghost. But he quit going to church back when he was probably an early teenager. Obviously, it was my mom, his sister, that took him to church. My mom was 18 years of age when he was born, so my uncle's only about three and a half years older than I am. And something happened in his life, and he started going to some church that his wife goes to and such. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, there's one thing that I do know. I said, what's that? He said, they don't preach like Brother Poe used to preach. I don't know that he could say not one message of what Brother Poe preached, but he knows how that Brother Poe preached. And he's made that comment to me. And he even told me one time, he said, you preach like Brother Poe preached. That's what I'm accustomed and used to. I thought to myself, that's what I wanted to be. I want to preach like Brother Poe preached. Amen. Somewhere back in 2006, I was preaching in Nacogdoches, Texas. And the pastor invited, Brother Poe had already passed away, but the pastor invited Brother Poe's wife and Brother Poe's daughter to come over to be in service with us. And so I preached there and got to preach to Sister Poe and Sister Jeannie and stuff. And Sister Jeannie and Sister Poe came up to me afterwards and they'd say, Dad would be so proud of you. You preach just like him. And it's not because I aspire or a desire to preach like him, but amen, it was that there was a demonstration of the Spirit and a demonstration of the power, amen, that took place in all of that. And so I may not be able to tell you any of the messages that he preached, but I will tell you about that sinner, amen, that came from off of the left-hand side, and he came down to the altar down this way, and he got down there in his blue jeans and his boots, and with his brush popper shirt, and he threw his hands to heaven, and he began to weep and began to cry. And before it was all and said and done, amen, he had prayed through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you what the Holy Ghost did, because I'm talking about a demonstration of power. Amen. He reached back into that old Wrangler back pocket, and he pulled out a can of Copenhagen, and he took that Copenhagen and he put it upon, amen, the pulpit, and God had set him free from it. You know how that happens? Because somebody preaches, amen, because conviction comes. There's a demonstration of the Spirit and a demonstration of power. I'll tell you something that AA can't do. I'll tell you something that a psychiatrist couch can do. I'll tell you something that Nicorette can't do. I'll tell you something that detox centers can't do. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost. All you gotta do is submit your life to God. He'll break the addiction. He'll break the love for it. He'll do things in your life that you've been trying to do for a long time. And Paul said, if we just preach like we know how to preach, something is gonna happen. Something has to happen when we get in the vein of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Something about it. Something about it. A demonstration. I can't tell you what was preached, but Brother Henry, come here. You're the only one that I feel halfway comfortable that I can do this with. Let me catch my breath. And so that we don't embarrass him too much, we're going to say that he was the preacher. But I remember one service where this lady come down to the altar, and she's a pretty good sized lady. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And all she could do was something like this. And she just talking in tongues and talking in tongues and talking in tongues. And when it was all said and done, the pastor reached out to shake her hand. And this is what she did. I don't remember what the message was, but I remember what the Holy Ghost did. That's what we gotta have. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost get a halt, break, do some things in the power of the Spirit, and you will remember. Said if I wanted to use excellency of words, I could, but I can't do what the Holy Ghost can do. I can't duplicate, I cannot replicate what the Holy Ghost will do. And so just let me step back and let the Holy Ghost do it. I'm not asking the pastor to tickle my ears. I'm not asking for him to appease me. I'm not asking him to enlighten me. I'm not asking him to mesmerize me. I'm not asking him to wow me. I want God to move. I want the Spirit to take over. I want the Holy Ghost and the Spirit to be demonstrated amongst us. Yeah.
This is why people will want a different church. They're tired of being tickled. They're tired of being told it's okay. They're tired of coming one way and leaving the same way. Coming with problems, leaving with problems. Coming a sinner, leaving as a sinner. Coming with issues, leaving unchanged. But the Holy Ghost has the power to be able to move and to change them. Oh, let's just take some time and love Him. Yes, Lord, we want this. We want Your Word. We want Your Spirit. We want it to dig down deep. We want there to be a demonstration. We've got time for it, God. We desire it. Our world needs it. Gotta have it. Can't live without it. Don't want to go without it. Gotta have it, Jesus. Oh, I'm done. Holy Ghost, this is what we want. Holy Ghost, this is who we are. Holy Ghost, we desire You. This is what we want. We want Your Spirit to move amongst us. We want Your power to break asunder every yoke. We want Your anointing in our services. We want Your anointing upon us. We don't want to be like every other church. We don't want to be like all the mega churches that make people feel good about themselves. We're not interested in the self-help ways. We're not interested in the positive attitude things. We're not interested in those things. We know that You will bring those things as we need those things. But we want You to get down into the life. We want You to get down into the joints and to the marrow of the bones. We want You to interrupt our service. We want You to move in where every sinner thinks that we're crazy, but yet they want to be like us. They want what we have. They desire what we have because they're so tired of what they are. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Paul said, I did this so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's about God. It's about God. It's not about me, Paul said. It's not about my talent. It's about God. Not about my wisdom. It's about God. It's not about who I am. It's about who He is. Enticing words impress the mind, but a demonstration of the Spirit is able to pierce the heart. And enticing words produces applause, but a demonstration produces repentance. Enticing words creates fans, but a demonstration creates disciples. Enticing words is temporary excitement, but a demonstration of the Spirit is a lasting transformation. all the Holy Ghost is asking here tonight, is this what you want? Is this what you desire? Is this what you're after? Or are you looking to mesmerize people's minds? Make them think how good of a speaker you are. And what a nice church this is. Amen. Are we saying, no, God? We want to be good in everything that we say, and we want to be good in all that we do. But we want you to be in charge. We want you to run. We want you to operate it. And with many infallible words and works, with many infallible proofs. Amen. He did things. These signs shall follow them that believe. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's a work of the Spirit. 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 Work of the Spirit. Work of the Spirit. Work of the Spirit. Come on. Spirit, breathe in this place. Let there be a demonstration of the Spirit. Let there be a demonstration of the power. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Work in this house. Work amongst us, God. Work in this place, Heavenly Father. Work, 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 oh God. Hallelujah. We're on your time, Jesus. We're in your house, Jesus. We're building your church, Jesus. Not our kingdom, Jesus. Not our house, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not by our might nor by our power, but it's by your Spirit. Your Spirit, Holy Ghost. Work, O Lord. Get into our hearts. Get into our lives. Talk to us. Deal with us. Move upon us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ho, ho. The beautiful thing about all of this is if we want a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, amen, that everybody can be involved. But if you just want enticing words of man's wisdom, then we're looking at you, preacher. You got to produce. You got to make it happen. But that's not what we want. And so the preacher preaches in the Holy Ghost. And the people pray in the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit moves. And the preacher responds to the Spirit. And the people respond to the Spirit. And the Spirit has his perfect way. Minds are changed. Things that we can't do in 100 years, God does in a moment's time, because it's a demonstration of the power and a demonstration of the Spirit.